Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, everybody. Thank you for being here with us on this Monday. We've got a big mandate showdown over vaccines here in New York City. Police, fire, sanitation workers, thousands and thousands refusing to get the shot, calling out sick in many cases. It's going to play out this week in New York's, in America's largest city. We'll come back to that story in a bit. Plus, Clay and I want to dive into Colin Kaepernick's latest Netflix special. This is, you've just got to see it, to, or hear it at least, to understand the gravity of the insanity on display. But we are down to the wire here for the Virginia governor's race. Tomorrow is, as we know, the day. So we're looking here at a McAuliffe versus Youngkin throwdown that the whole country is watching, because at the heart of it, it's not just the state of Virginia in play, but parents fighting back against the madness of CRT and wanting a greater say in their children's education, which is a nationwide issue. Ned Ryan joins us now. He's the founder and CEO of American Majority and Voter Gravity. He is a Virginia native. He's in Loudoun County. He knows this issue backwards and forwards. Ned, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Good to be with you guys. And Buck, you're right. This tomorrow is going to be pretty telling as to where we go moving forward, not only in Virginia, but I think even on a national level. I think that if Youngkin wins, and I'm pretty optimistic that he will, as well as others that are on the statewide, even in the House of Delegates, I think it has an impact on what's going on in D.C. in regards to some of the crazy Democrat ideas on spending. And I think it puts a real pause on that. And I think you might even see some retirements among Democrat House incumbents who might want to check out and not have to face the voters in 2022. So, no, Virginia is going to have not only the elections are not only going to have an impact on the state, but I think the national debate as well.
Ned, what are the numbers showing us right now, though, for how much the education issue is at the forefront here and why Youngkin is so far ahead?
No, I mean, this is the one thing, Buck. 60-some percent of the voters said their number one issue in this election is education. And it's not to give the teachers more money or to put more funding into our school system. It's to say, stop using our schools as indoctrination centers, stop doing CRT, stop pushing transgenderism. You know, start teaching advanced courses. This is the interesting thing, Buck, and I know I've said this to you before, but I'll say it again. There are a lot of people that are upset about CRT here in Virginia. But where you get 70% of Democrats and independents is on the issue of they want the schools to start teaching advanced math courses and other advanced courses again. And Glenn Youngkin has been very clear on this front. When he is elected governor, that will be one of the things he does on day one, is to reinstate advanced math courses and other things, because a lot of parents, regardless of party affiliation, are saying you're ruining my child's future by not giving them advanced courses. So there's a lot of different things at stake here, but Glenn Youngkin, this kind of fell into his lap a little bit, Buck. He has embraced it. He has run with it. But I think even more importantly, he's kind of laid out a playbook, if Republicans are smart, for the midterms in 2022 to say, hey, let's side with the parents, kind of a common sense no-brainer. Let's side with the parents and say, hey, we're going to be your advocates in the face of the left and the teachers' unions, and say parents have a right to decide what their kids are being taught inside the school system.
Ned, I was at one of these school board meetings in Williamson County where I lived. It's very similar to Loudoun County, and I could feel the energy moving, and now it may well animate the difference in the Virginia election here if Youngkin wins. Perfect. How long lasting do you think the motivation of an education-focused agenda can be electorally? You mentioned 2022.
I think the midterm.
Is this something that carries into 2024 election? How long does this go?
I will say at least through the midterms, but I would say probably through the next presidential at a minimum. I mean, it's a fundamental issue, right? Parents are saying, you know, here in Loudoun, and again, I know there's bigger school districts, but we put $1.5 billion annually into our school system, and parents are just standing up and saying, hey, it's deeply insulting and offensive for you to say we're going to teach your children things you don't agree with using your $1.5 billion, and you can just basically sit down and shut up. I mean, it's a fundamental issue. What right do parents have in educating their children? They have every right. We're not co-raising our children with the government. We've basically said we've made you stewards of not only the money, but our children. Now teach them the things that they need to be successful in life. So not only through the midterms, but I do think, Clay, that it'll be an issue in 2024. The amazing thing, though, going back to Virginia in these elections, people have been focused on Youngkin. I think if Youngkin, and again, Trafalgar came out with him up 2.3 today, and I think that's probably about right, 2 to 3 points, I think is where I see Youngkin, hopefully, fingers crossed, winning tomorrow. But then you get Winsome Sears, who's lieutenant governor. I think that will pull Meares across AG. But even more importantly, because we've been focused with American Majority Action on delegate races, I would not be surprised if we are able to flip the House of Delegates, which is huge. We need to flip 6 seats and maybe get even more than 6, but we'll see.
Ned, it is fascinating because you don't have very many of these elections happening in this year.
Right.
Virginia, Joe Biden won by 10 points. What you're
That's
talking
right.
about is a potential 12 to 13 point swing in electoral support. How much could that translate forward in 22 and 24? Or is Youngkin just the right candidate at the right time? In other words, is he the cause or is he just following the trend lines? And in theory, there could be a lot more Virginias out there where suddenly electoral math changes some. Because a 13-point swing in 1 year would be pretty seismic.
He's following the trend lines, Clay. I mean, this is something that, let's face it, fell into his lap, in which there was a movement already percolating, started to explode onto the surface. Once he won the nomination, he embraced it. But this isn't something that originated with Glenn Youngkin here in Virginia. I mean, this is a truly grassroots, and you've seen this in Tennessee, this
yeah.
is truly a grassroots movement that has exploded from the grassroots, from concerned parents, and it's percolating and it's rising from the ground up. So the thing that people would be smart to do is what Glenn Youngkin has done. Embrace the issue and say, I'm actually going to be advocating for parents' rights. And so the thing that I hope, and I think it's such a no-brainer common sense, it's hard for me to accept the fact that they might not do it, but Republicans, you can always bank on them kind of being stupid, but hopefully they embrace this in 2022 and say, we're going to ride this. The thing I'll remind listeners is this. The first midterm for the party that's in the White House is usually pretty devastating. The party that's out of power in the White House typically wins 28 seats in the House and 4 in the Senate since World War II on average. I think we're looking at even more significant numbers if Republicans will embrace this trend, embrace it, and push hard on it. You could see a lot more, and then you add in redistricting, anywhere from 6 to 13 more seats in the House for Republicans. 2022 could be pretty significant and set the tone for 2024.
We're speaking to Ned Ryan, founder and CEO of American Majority and author of The Adversaries, by the way. Great book. Go pick up your copy. Ned, you know, this is a race that, as Clay and I have been focusing in on it for weeks now, it's clearly going to have implications for, I mean, for, of course, the midterms, the political year we're entering here, but just for the rest of the country when it comes to CRT. It does seem like at some level there is a degree of desperation from the McAuliffe camp, and they are focusing in on somebody who is definitely not actually in the governor's race. Let's hear just a montage put out by the Youngkin campaign for a second.
Donald Trump.
That goes on for a full minute. It's just
yes.
all the times in recent weeks McAuliffe right. has brought up the former president. I mean, it seems so desperate. Ned, you watch the numbers. You know the Virginia political landscape as well as literally anyone I know. Is that actually gaining him any traction? Is this
no.
just kind of a pathetic, they got nothing left, so they're throwing the Trump card out there as if that's going to cost Youngkin the election? What do you see here?
But even then, Buck, first of all, they have nothing. But even more so, even doubling down on Trump, I would remind people, a Rasmussen poll in September nationally, but also was reflected in Virginia, independents by 20 points moved towards Trump and said if we were to have the 2020 elections again, by 20 points, independents would vote for Trump over Biden. So them going after Trump here in Virginia, it might even help Youngkin with independents because they've moved so strongly in the Trump direction from even last fall. And that's the amazing thing to me. I mean, as Clay mentioned, Biden won this state by 10 points, but you look under the surface, independents have moved dramatically towards Republicans, and the mid-propensity voters have gained. We've gone from 8 to 18 favoring Republicans. Low propensity have moved 19 points in Republicans' favor just since last November here in Virginia. So for the McAuliffe campaign to be going Trump, 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 it actually is probably helping Youngkin because Trump is actually pretty popular with a lot of
yeah.
independent voters.
We also have Terry McAuliffe out there talking about what he says is the racist dog whistle. That's his term of parents who want to have greater input into what their children are being taught, including in places like Loudoun, which is your county, and where this where this rebellion against CRT really got going. Is it fair to say, Ned, I mean, if there's a big, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves because who knows, but if there's a big wing tomorrow for Youngkin, is it in no small part due to parents who in Virginia and other places across the country got this parental revolution, if you will, going against the leftist apparatus of indoctrination?
Yeah, absolutely. And the irony in all of this, Buck, is because of the absurd COVID lockdowns, parents were actually kind of awakened to the fact of what was going on in the schools by watching what their kids were learning online and seeing the videos and going, wait a minute, we didn't sign up for this. So if there was a silver lining to the COVID lockdowns, it was that it woke parents up to going, hey, this is terrible. I didn't sign up for this. I don't want to see them indoctrinated with this. The amazing part, and I'll repeat this again, when the DOJ and the FBI is saying that they are targeting school board meetings, they're not simply targeting Republicans. There are Democrats. There are independents. There are whites. There are blacks. There are men. There are women. Everybody is there. And almost to the same, 70% of them, I guess, especially on the, you know, advanced courses, are saying, we do not want this. You have to listen to us. And the arrogant Loudoun County School Board is basically telling us to shut up. And again, it's being replayed in many, many different school boards across the country. This is not a Republican issue. I want to stress this. This is Democrat, independent, and Republican saying, we want our children to get the best learning possible. Advanced courses are not racist. They actually give our children a chance to succeed in the future. And Democrats, to their own damage, are going to keep pushing this and saying this is somehow a racist dog whistle because they're going to be going after some of their own voters.
You mentioned this at the beginning of the interview, and I just want to circle back on it again. Let's say that Youngkin wins. Mm-hmm. What does this do to the Biden agenda, and how do Democrats try to respond? And by the Biden agenda, of course, I mean the infrastructure and the $1.5 or $1.75 trillion that's pending out there. Does that lose momentum, and how do Democrats respond to what would be a devastating defeat?
No, I think, Clay, this is why they were pushing so hard. I mean, they were pushing so hard in the last week or two because they realized the closer they got to the Virginia elections, this is going to be a bellwether. Are the voters going to punish us? That's why they were pushing so hard. Nothing's going to happen, obviously, on a vote between now and tomorrow. There are going to be results. And then the Democrats, and I think we will have significant success here in Virginia, are going to have to go back and say, what do we actually think we can accomplish between now and the end of the year? I think it will be significantly less than what they'd hoped for. It'll be a much pared down spending bill. We'll see about infrastructure. And again, like I mentioned earlier, I think you're going to see some incumbent Democrats say, you know what? I think I'm going to announce my retirement and I'm not running for reelection in 2022 because it's already going to be a brutal year. And I think it's going to get even more brutal after we see tomorrow night's results.
Ned Ryan, everybody, author of The Adversaries, founder of American Majority, and our man in Virginia. Ned, always appreciate it, man. We'll hopefully be talking to you about some celebratory moods for Youngkin soon.
So.
We'll see. Fingers crossed. And everyone get out there and vote. Ned, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
We've actually got McAuliffe with one of his smears, Clay. I had them pull that audio. You got to hear it to believe.
I can't wait. We'll play it.
And then there's the Colin Kaepernick situation. I mean, I almost don't want to tell you what he's saying because I want you to hear it before, and then Clay and I can break it down for you. But that this guy's been held up as a hero by the left it's honestly just appalling and idiotic, in my opinion. One of the many things we talk about when it comes to gold is protection. Protection is important both for your savings and your IRA. And then there's the consistency that comes from owning gold that does not come from the more volatile type of investments. Cryptocurrency, for instance. There's a great satisfaction that comes from buying and taking possession of your gold. When gold gets delivered at your home, it's a wonderfully different experience. The Oxford Gold Group is the company I've worked with to not only buy gold, but also take possession of it. Doing this is not complicated. It's easy to do, actually, with the help of my friends at the Oxford Gold Group. That's who you call. They'll explain everything to you. Having real gold delivered to your home or having real gold as part of your IRA, it is just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. That's the Oxford Gold Group at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.
Let's go, Brandon!
Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. It is the chant heard in some parts around America these days, including allegedly on a Southwest Airlines flight that led a lot of blue check journos over the weekend to lose their minds. Oh my gosh, I'm unsafe, they were saying. They always go to the safety argument. You know, you say something a lib doesn't like, their first thing is now, well, your speech, your thought that bothers me is violence. Therefore, I am justified in calling for the force of the state to have consequences against you, perhaps even the force of the state up to and including the use of violence to silence you. Never forget that part of the argument. They have completely abandoned any pretense of the First Amendment as a cultural and political phenomenon beyond just the basic protection given from government reach into your speech. Although, as we know, that's not even sacrosanct. The First Amendment was horrifically abused when it comes to the lockdowns and the way that we weren't allowed to go to church. We weren't allowed to gather outside even. They would lock you up for that, lock you up for protesting lockdowns. Sometimes, though, the left has a very different feeling about you saying something on company time, in company uniform, while being paid, right? Now, the Southwest pilot, they obviously want him fired. They want him ruined, never able to work again. There were hundreds and hundreds of flights, American Airlines flights, canceled over the weekend. So we know there's still something unresolved here, but that has more to do with the vaccine mandates than what we're talking about right now, which is a Joe Biden issue. There are people who think the Biden administration, although it ties into mandates, obviously, the Biden administration is flailing. Joe Biden is a preposterous president, really a Trojan horse of a president. People are recognizing this increasingly as it goes along. Those who are open to having their minds changed are changing their minds about this president. And yet speech is allowable sometimes on the clock, not others. The Southwest Airlines pilot, again, we don't even know if he said it. He might have said, let's go Braves, or who knows. But it was reported on by the Associated Press that he did say it. That's a big problem. But Colin Kaepernick, you will recall, he of the wearing socks with police pigs on them infamy. The media was always very much in his corner and defending him. And this was about justice. I mean, it was really about hating cops. And actually, more than that, it was about Colin Kaepernick turning himself into a civil rights hero, where he was actually just going to make more money as the downslope of his professional football career had arrived. He was going to make more money as some kind of an icon. And he has. So, yeah, he's so brave, so brave, stunning and brave. Here he is in a new Netflix special. And we're not saying making an allusion or making a direct comparison. You can hear it in the audio. The visual's even worse. This was in the actual Netflix special, comparing the NFL draft to a slave auction. Play.
What they don't want you to understand is what's being established is a power dynamic. Before they put you on the field, teams poke, prod, and examine you, searching for any defect that might affect your performance. No boundary respected. No dignity left intact.
Clay, from the NFL draft, visually, you can kind of hear it in there, to a slave auction in a Netflix special, one of the both ugliest and craziest things I've seen in a mainstream media outlet in a long time.
It is an insult to anyone with a functional brain to say in any way the NFL combine, which is where everybody goes to work out as a measuring stick, white, black, Asian, and Hispanic, all football players. It's an incredible honor to be invited to the combine. Guys oftentimes beg for combine invites because they are effectively job interviews. And they're job interviews for jobs that will pay you millions of dollars. And going to the combine is voluntary. Everyone just about who gets a combine invite goes because these guys at 22 years old are going to make more money for a few years of football than many people will make in their entire careers of working. And so the idea that you would equate slavery with probably the highest earning 22-year-olds almost anywhere in the world in the NFL, and the fact that you've probably seen the video, the picture that went viral, Tom Brady standing there shirtless in his underwear while they manage and check all the different sizes. Everyone is treated the same, and it's voluntary. And you mentioned that the pig socks for Colin Kaepernick. The analogy is amazing to even unpack further, Buck, because remember the day that he started his protest, he showed up in the post-game press conference in a Fidel Castro shirt. He has praised Fidel Castro and Cuba. He has said that police, he didn't just wear pig socks, Buck. He said police are modern day slave catchers. Direct quotes. This is a Netflix special. It's written. It's not like somebody just goes on television or radio and says something dumb. This is a written script. And remember, Kaepernick has spent the past several years criticizing the NFL for not allowing him to play. So he is begging for the NFL to treat him like a slave. Colin Kaepernick, I want to be straightforward and honest and as transparent as I can be with everybody out there listening right now, is an imbecile. And anyone who is supporting Colin Kaepernick in any way, and that includes Nike, Netflix, all these woke corporations that have paid him tens of millions of dollars, should be ashamed of themselves. And even the Blue Check Brigade out there that has tried to defend Colin Kaepernick, I want to build on that Southwest analogy that we started a little bit earlier. They want right now a Southwest Airlines pilot fired for uttering potentially "Let's go Brandon," although he could have been saying "Let's go Braves." In uniform at work, they say that is unacceptable. They have spent 5 years, Buck, telling us that Colin Kaepernick making political comments in uniform at work, it is shameful for the NFL to not want that to occur. They've been telling us all that it's shameful for the NFL to want players to stand for the national anthem, yet they want an airline pilot fired.
And can we also just be clear that when you're talking about NFL players kneeling during the anthem, that really does upset and seems to represent people that are making decisions, right? When you have the players in the league doing that, people yes. are going to react to that. One pilot is not representative of Southwest Airlines. I mean, just the notion that we're comparing yes. these things, there were lots of players taking knees in the NFL yes. during the anthem, which people find highly disrespectful. I mean, even yes. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, ultra-liberal, was like, that is moronic and disrespectful to this country to do.
Yes.
It's not the time for that. It's like, you know, burning an American flag at someone's funeral. Like, okay, you can do it maybe legally, although there's a whole other conversation to be had about that, but that doesn't mean that it's anything other than disgusting, idiotic, and really just selfish. And that's what you get with someone like Colin Kaepernick. He's selfish but pretends to be about others, which is honestly a plague within the left these days. They act like they're big heroes when all they're actually doing. You see this with the climate change conference going on right now. Clay, how many people can arrive in private jets at a climate change conference yeah. to worship at the feet of an 18-year-old who didn't even go to high school and knows nothing about science, as though she's some kind of high priestess of climate change, before we realize these people are unserious on this issue and should be mocked and ridiculed, like Biden?
And hypocrites like Colin Kaepernick, because they are not able to even consistently make an argument, Buck, even when it's written, vetted, and part of a script, they end up with this absolute stupidity. In the meantime, November 1st, for a lot of people out there, you know what that means? It's the start of the holiday season. Lots of different music. I saw Mariah Carey celebrating "All I Want for Christmas" season. It's when she makes a ton of money. It's when a lot of us spend a lot of money. It's the holiday season, and Tommy John wants you to know it's also softness seasons. While you work on your holiday to-do list, try to go easy on yourself and start with a new pair of Tommy John men's underwear. When you start your day wearing Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. Tommy John men's underwear, breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric, four times the stretch of competing brands, and an incredible level of comfort. We wear it. You'll love it. You'll be glad that you did it. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Over 200,000 of us out there. Plus, it's a money-back guarantee. Best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. You got nothing to risk here. Buck, how do they get their own?
I'm wearing my Tommy John t-shirt right now. I love this gear. In fact, I'm going to get more this week. Get 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/buck. That's TommyJohn.com/buck for a great 20% off deal. Go to this website, get yourself hooked up today. They got great men's gear, women's gear, the most comfortable clothing I own. TommyJohn.com/buck. See site for details.
Welcome in, hour number three, Monday edition. I'm Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. Encourage you to all go grab and subscribe to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast. We love all of our affiliates in all 50 states, and we appreciate all of you who listen that way. We want you to be able to listen to every minute as many different ways as possible. You search out my name, Clay Travis. You search out Buck Sexton's, and boom, you can go give us 5 stars, and you get every single hour. We're going to be talking to Tucker Carlson here momentarily from Fox News. In fact, he is with us right now. And Tucker, let me make sure I get this right. You have got a brand new 3-part documentary that is already driving people on the left wing of this country, the blue check mark brigade, as I call them, absolutely insane. It's called Patriot Purge. It's going to be on Fox Nation about what really happened on January 6th and how it's been used to start a domestic war on terror. Tucker, are you surprised how angry you've already got the blue check mark brigade before they've even seen a minute of this documentary?
Well, I suppose I am. I'm fascinated by it. I'm not really bothered or threatened by it. I mean, the documentary, which, you know, people can assess for themselves, is actual. We did dozens and dozens of interviews and went through hundreds and hundreds of hours of relevant tape. And it's, I think, meticulously reported. And really interesting. But before it even came out, on the basis of our trailer, the Washington Post ran yesterday like a 10,000 word rebuttal, which is the word to describe it, on the basis of a minute and 20 seconds. So what does that tell you? Well, it's not about me, obviously, or even about Fox News. It's about the fact that they believe they have a monopoly on the way that you understand this event. Now, why is that so important to them? They're not bothered when the suicide rate doubles or 100,000 Americans drop dead from drug ODs. That, like, they don't even pause. So it's not a question of hurting America. America is being hurt and they're not noticing. It's a question of taking away their control. Now, why would September 6th, this riot at the Capitol, which, by the way, I disapproved of when it happened, I disapprove of it now. Why would it be so essential for them to tell us that it's an insurrection run by racists? Because on that pretext, they're cracking down on their political opponents. I mean, that's obviously the whole point of this, and we prove it in the documentary, but it's all around us. There are people sitting in solitary to this day for trespassing. So at the same time that, you know, some guy lights up a school with a handgun, shoots 2 people in class in Fort Worth and does a night in jail. So, like, the punishments are so disproportionate that tells you, of course, this is all political, and we should push back against that. Equal justice is the main thing we have. We shouldn't give up on it.
Hey, Tucker, it's Buck, and I'm just wondering, what is it? Yeah, thanks for being with us. What is it that you can give us as a sense? I know I want people to go watch this, right? So I don't want you to give away too much right in advance. We know how that goes. It's important that people see this, though. We talk a lot about the insurrection narrative. I have said, and this is, I guess, coming from an ex-CIA guy, anyone who calls this an insurrection is an idiot or a liar. I don't think there's a third option. I mean, it's just there was no right way this was going to overthrow the United States government. What are some of the things that you identify in the documentary in Patriot Purge that may be new to people or that may be necessary for them to know to have the full context for what I also have said is a riot was bad, but wasn't what they're telling you it is?
No. So there are 3 parts to it. Tonight's the first. And we lay out the facts of the day. What actually happened? So I don't think there's been a public event videotaped from more angles than this one. So there's a lot of available evidence. We don't have to speculate. What's so striking to me is that the basic facts, the core facts, the easily discoverable facts have been totally distorted from the beginning. And let's just start with the most obvious. How many people died? So 5 people died, 6 people died. They were killed by the mob. And the truth is completely different from that. No one was killed by the mob. One person was killed. She was an unarmed Trump supporter. She was 5'2". Her name was Ashley Babbitt, famously. And she was shot by a Capitol Police officer with a history of recklessness. Now, we can debate, you know, whether that was justified or not. I don't think there's any way that it was, but others disagree. But what we can't debate is that 5 or 6 people died, because that's not what happened. Officer Sicknick was not beaten to death with a fire extinguisher. That's a lie. And yet that lie, which ran in the New York Times, was uncorrected for weeks, defined the coverage, and it's still being repeated. Who first breached
the line of police officers. Another question. How many police officers stepped out of the way to allow the crowd to go in? I mean, it's all on videotape. Who are the people there? So just kind of setting the fact pattern down, like this is what actually happened, this is what's knowable, was shocking to me once, you know, after the 3 or 4 months you worked in this, once it was all written down, you're like, wait, this literally bears no resemblance to what they've been telling me every single day on television for 10 months. Why is that? The second, and I won't go too into it, but the second is, what has this been used for? There's a point if they're not lying because, you know, they feel like it, they're lying because they're getting something out of it, and this has been used to justify the biggest crackdown on civil liberties in American history, or certainly since the First World War, since the Wilson administration. And the third question that we ask, which is an entirely valid question, which is how many people in the crowd that day had contact with federal law enforcement? And there's no question that some did. I mean, that's kind of beyond dispute. They've admitted it. But a number of people who seem to be at the center of encouraging the crowd, the people encouraging the crowd to breach the police line, have not been indicted. Whereas, you know, grandmothers who did effectively nothing but walk down the hallway are still in jail. So what does that tell you? What tells you? They're most likely federal informants. So what is that? Like, what's the outline of that? Why can't we know? Like, what's the answer?
This is such a fascinating thing that you're examining because it's the very foundation of what journalists used to do, right? Ask questions, analyze evidence, examine it, put forward hypotheses which can be rejected or accepted by the larger media ecosystem in what we would call the marketplace of ideas. Yet you are being attacked, which you are used to. And by the way, Buck and I are used to being attacked too.
Yeah.
Savagely, I would say though, Tucker, over this in a way that doesn't happen for all of our opinions, which to me is so fascinating about it. Like you just said,
exactly.
The Washington Post wrote 10,000 words about a 1 minute, 20 second advertisement that you guys put out. There's an entire cottage industry that has mobilized here. And Buck and I have been talking about this, and I find it so fascinating. Almost in an era where we say, hey, it's wrong to punish anyone, right? There's all these people that immediately get back out on the streets when they're convicted of serious crimes. We have people still in solitary confinement for January 6th, and it's as if those people don't exist. They've been disappeared, which is what happens in so many countries that don't have basic First Amendment rights. Shouldn't way more people, such as
GOP reps,
be asking the question about this? Yeah.
Well, sure. I mean, what this has been used to do is redefine democratic opposition, small d democratic opposition to their rule as terrorism, to redefine their domestic political opponents as terrorists. And once you do that, then you can focus the full weight and force of the national security state on these people. And as we, I think, demonstrate at great length, that is in fact happening. Why is no one saying anything about it? Because their aggression is so overwhelming that you really have to decide, well, you know, I'm going to all of a sudden, like, not, you know, go to the grocery store again this year if I say this. I mean, there's a penalty for saying it. I'm just, at, you know, at a certain age and place in my life where I don't care. But there's a lot of members of Congress who I think kind of know what's going on, but it's not worth getting involved in it because the penalty is just too high. I mean, they basically, just the same as the BLM riots and the same as COVID, they're so aggressive that people feel like it's just not even worth participating. And, you know, I think that's a shame. I think people should show a little bit more bravery in the face of authoritarianism. But, you know, I'm not in charge of people, only myself. But, yeah, that's it. They don't want to deal with it. Like, next thing you know, you're Marjorie Taylor Greene. And, like, you know, people are calling you a Nazi for
yes.
saying things that were totally conventional 5 years ago. And, like, you really, it's a rare person who's willing to deal with that. It's just not worth it.
That's we're speaking to Tucker Carlson. You all know him from Fox News, from his 8 p.m. Eastern show. He's got a documentary coming out, 3-part series, Patriot Purge, on Fox Nation, which you should all check out. Tucker, we're talking, you know, around this and to this in different ways. GOP cowardice on this issue. I still feel as though there has been no real accountability when there's all these numbers, and it's such an easy case to make for defund the police, for the riots that even racked my own neighborhood here in New York City. I mean, there were broken windows and glass all over the streets when I went out in the morning after the purge night here, so to speak. The GOP hasn't made an effective case in my mind about how damaging and destructive that was. And now we have people still held in solitary. And I think we're setting ourselves up here for a year where everything is going against the Biden administration that is based on policy and decision making. We're seeing horrific results. You're dealing with that night in and night out on your show. But they're just going to run the, well, if you vote for a Republican, you're an insurrectionist playbook. And I worry that because the opposition is cowardly to that, that we may actually suffer or at least not do as well as we should when the people have seen that the Democrats just don't know what the heck they're doing.
Well, sure, or they do. And you know, if you're shutting down domestic energy production at a time when the country is getting poorer, then at some point it's like it's not just ideological, it's an attempt to destroy the country. I mean, I that's the conclusion I'm reaching. The question, so there's no doubt, and I think you're going to see this in Virginia tomorrow, that people think Democrats don't know what they're doing or they're actively harming our institutions. The question is, are the Republicans worth voting for? And unfortunately, you know, the answer is no. I mean, they're loathsome. You really think Mitch McConnell would care if you got pulled off the street tomorrow for your political opinions and thrown in jail? You think he'd say a word? No, of course not. And by the way, I hate to say it, but like, there's been a huge amount of money raised around the former president. How much of that has gone to the legal defense funds of the people rotting in D.C. jail? Zero. So, like, where are the Republican – I'm sorry, that's just true. Where are the Republican leaders standing up for their people, their voters? They're nowhere. I mean, there are a few of them. But and then you have Lindsey Graham, we learned in the Washington Post yesterday, is these people are milling about the hallways in the Capitol telling the Capitol Police to shoot them to death. Shoot them. American citizens, unarmed. Shoot them. That's why we give you guns, he said. It's like, really? How is Lindsey Graham on TV pretending to be conservative?
That's appalling. That's appalling.
Telling the police to shoot unarmed American citizens. Like, what the hell? I don't know. It's too frustrating, honestly.
Tucker, speaking of frustrating, the Let's Go Brandon chant is an antidote for many people's frustrations. I was down at the Florida-Georgia game, banner on an airplane flying over the stadium. Same thing happened last night for the Atlanta Braves game that was going up against the Astros. The Southwest Airlines, basically an investigation that's being driven by the Blue Checkmark Brigade. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. You had, for 6 years, basically, these people have been saying, hey, Colin Kaepernick in uniform at work, it's incredibly brave for him to take a political stand. A Southwest Airlines pilot, who may or may not have said this, by the way, there's talk that he might have said, let's go Braves, instead of let's go Brandon, because of the World Series. But what about the irony here of claiming to be a First Amendment supporter, yet immediately requiring that this guy be doxxed, identified, and never able to work again after years and years of defending what I think, frankly, is the loathsome perspective of Colin Kaepernick because he's a hypocrite and a liar. It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, I think they've pretty much given up on supporting the First Amendment. I mean, we've had people in the last 24 hours say, I should be in, you know, people with authority, I should be in jail for running this trailer, and it's not protected speech. I mean, they're not for civil liberties, period. They're not for your First or Second Amendments, which are the pivotal ones, or Third and Fourth, for that matter. But what's so striking to me, again, is the hysteria, the neuroses, the kind of personal craziness that this grows out of. People like this have these politics not because they have been led here through some logic chain. You know, they think this is going to, like, make things better, but because of whatever profound personal torment they're living through. They're hysterical people. They'll say anything. Like, someone tells a joke they don't like, and all of a sudden they accuse the pilot of wanting to fly the plane into the ground. It's, like, so crazy and disproportionate, and yet the whole country is held hostage to their hysteria. And at some point, it's like having a teenage child who's out of control. It's like, it's sad, but you can't let this kid, like, control your family. You still have to sit down for dinner, and, like, if you can't handle it, go to your room. Like, when do the rest of us stop paying attention to hysterical, neurotic blue checks telling us what to think? I mean, I've already reached that point. I hope others do.
Yeah, we're hoping it's when they stop wearing masks outside, Tucker, and thinking that masking up between bites on the airplane is somehow scientific. But look, folks, you got to go check this out for no other reason than it will really upset Representative Liz Cheney. So go check it out, TuckerCarlson.com, and you can get full access to Fox Nation for free for 90 days. I'm going to be watching this three-part doc. I know Clay is too. TuckerCarlson.com. Get full access to Fox Nation for 90 days. Tucker, great work, man. We always appreciate you, and thanks for coming here to hang out with us.
You guys are the best. Thank you.
We'll come back to more on the COVID mandates here in New York as they're playing out, plus infrastructure bill. Manchin saying it's being held hostage, Clay. I got to say, this is getting messier for the Democrats than a lot of folks would have anticipated. Almost like, I don't know. We'll see. We'll give you updates on the Biden Build Back Better agenda, infrastructure bill, and all that when we come back. With all that's happening at home and in the world today, a little more TLC goes a long way. You can start that today with the dogs that we all love. Tallulah was my nurse all weekend when I was sick, man. She was right by my side, keeping me company. So I want her to be as healthy as possible, not get sick like me. And that's why you got to give them Rough Greens, because dog food is dead food. All that dry dog food, that's got to be able to sit in a shipping crate, warehouse, or a store shelf for up to 3 years. So that means that they use a sterilization process that gets a lot of good stuff that would be in your pet's food out. So you need to add it back in. That's what Rough Greens does. Rough Greens is not a dog food. It's a healthy supplement you put into your dog's food with all the live nutrients necessary for superior dog health. I'm talking about vitamins, probiotics, enzymes, omega oils, and antioxidants. Tallulah's a little fussy about her food. She loves a little Rough Greens sprinkled in. And man, she's got great pep in her step for a 12-year-old. She's a senior citizen pooch. The folks at Rough Greens are so confident your dog is going to love it. They've got a special deal for you, our listeners. Go to roughgreens.com/EIB. You all know those initials, EIB. That's R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/EIB. They'll give you the first bag free. R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/EIB. All you pay is shipping.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Tucker Carlson earlier in this hour discussing what I think is going to be a really important documentary. I can't wait to go watch it, that he's doing, looking at January 6th and the events surrounding January 6th and the way that's been covered by the media and what are the actual facts. All of it's going to be a really, I believe, very intriguing watch for many of you. And we appreciate Tucker coming on to talk about that. Episode 1 debuting today as a part of Fox Nation. You can check it out, he said, for free at TuckerCarlson.com. Now, we've been talking also a lot. It is the eve of the Virginia governor's race. And Terry McAuliffe is trying to make his closing argument. And his closing argument is almost entirely predicated on Donald Trump. We're going to play you a couple of clips of McAuliffe just in the last couple of hours and what he is saying. But this is significant because My buddy Dub here, who is a big gambling aficionado, along with me, it's interesting to watch and look at what the gambling markets overseas are telling us. And for those of you who don't know, you can go put money down in England on basically any American race legally. Last week when we started updating you on this, Terry McAuliffe was about a 2-to-1 favorite. It has completely flipped, and now Glenn Youngkin is a 2-to-1 favorite. We're talking, guys, why this is so significant, about a 12 or 13 point swing in terms of the overall vote totals in the state of Virginia. Biden won in 2020 by 10 points, and now it's looking like Glenn Youngkin may win by 2 or 3 points, a monster 13 point swing. And the only thing McAuliffe can do to try to stop this red tide from sweeping him out is to try and argue about Donald Trump. Listen, this is his closing argument. It's not even about Glenn Youngkin. It's all about Donald Trump.
We've got to get enthusiasm up. And, you know, Donald Trump is coming tonight doing the final rally for Glenn Youngkin. And we went through the hatred and division 4 years of Donald Trump. So I think people don't want to see this. Trump said the other day that he will control Glenn Youngkin when he's governor. And we know what that means with the Trump Supreme Court. We'll roll back a woman's right to choose. It's very dangerous. Look what's happened in Texas. I mean, women's lives are at risk. Doctors being threatened with jail time. I worry about that. And I was a brick wall to protect women's rights the last time I was governor. I kept all my 16 women's clinics open. So people want to go forward.
Clay, can we just, this is where you'd want to, if you were near Terry McAuliffe, you want to just look at him and say, are you okay, buddy? Because, I mean, this whole Trump obsession is so pathetic. It's so transparent. And it's because he knows, speaking to the issue now, he carved out where he is. Yes. Terry McAuliffe is the parents should sit down, shut up, and not have a say in their kids' education. Terry McAuliffe lies about CRT existing in the Virginia as well as other states' school systems. Every time he says there is no CRT, someone comes out with another school that has CRT in the curriculum, another county where they're indoctrinating kids with this stuff. And then he switches, depending on the day, to, well, if you think this is CRT, then you're racist. You know, it's the racist parents, the racist dog whistle. This guy is just floundering. Because what does he really offer? He's just at this point stand-in Democrat candidate. He could be basically any mainstream DNC hack anywhere in the country. He has no charm. He has no charisma. He has no vision. But he's hoping that the Democrat advantage, as you point out, 10 points in the last election will push him over the edge. And what you have here is a guy who recognizes he could be the crack in the dam of the red wave that will be coming. This could be the beginning of that counter revolution, if you will, against the Democrats from 2020. And it's all really, we bring it back to, it's about parents showing up, speaking out, wanting to have a greater say in their children's future, and Terry McAuliffe being the snide lib that we know is representative of Democrat elite view inside the Beltway and around it, which is where Loudoun County is. That's what we're seeing.
And Loudoun County, I believe, is the wealthiest county in the entire United States. I was reading $125,000, I think, average income.
It's one of them. Having lived, and I mean, I worked in Northern Virginia for a while. Yeah. And lived in D.C. at two separate occasions in my life. I think three or four of the top 10 counties per capita income happen to be, Clay, all around Washington, D.C., which tells you something. There's something going on there, folks. Almost like the piggies are feeding at the trough.
And the point here on pointing that out is they want to make this look like a response of the uneducated and right. That's why they want to stereotype this. Same thing happened in Williamson County where I live now. The parents who are speaking out are highly educated. They're looking at the facts. And Buck, I want you to hear this clip too. This is Glenn Youngkin saying, oh, you know what? This is Terry McAuliffe saying, if Glenn Youngkin wins, they're not even going to require vaccines for kids. Because, by the way, McAuliffe has said that he will require kids be vaccinated in order to go to school. This is why this matters for many of you out there in many parts of the country. But particularly if you're listening to us in Virginia, you need to go vote and you need to go vote to send a message. Listen to McAuliffe continuing. This is his closing argument now. Glenn Youngkin's going to allow people who are unvaccinated to be able to go to school, and he's not even going to require every teacher to wear a mask.
Listen, Glenn Youngkin's education plan, he said day one, masks come off and no teachers required to be vaccinated. That is very dangerous to send your first grader to school and the teacher's not vaccinated and not wearing a mask. We've already seen 1,142 of our children in hospital with COVID. We just lost two 11-year-olds. So he's an anti-vaxxer. I'm not. I believe everybody, doctors, nurses, teachers ought to be vaccinated. I think that's common sense. Your job as governor is to keep your citizens safe. I built a robust, great economy before. I'll do it again. So, you know, I got more energy today than the day I was born. I am excited to get back in and do this job again, make Virginia number one in all these different categories.
Remember in The Princess Bride, the guy keeps saying, you know, I do not think that word means what you think it means. Yes. I do not think that the response of a lot of Virginia voters to Terry McAuliffe will be what he thinks it will be when he says things like, we need to have kids masked up in schools and we need to have, interesting, teachers need to be vaccinated. You've noticed they've been very slow with that in other states because they're very powerful teachers unions. All of a sudden, the science from the left doesn't really matter. But Clay, this is a guy who doesn't even, I think, read the room well with where Virginia is right now, which is why this should have been his race to win. Everyone needs to understand this. If he doesn't win, it is like a calamity for the Democrats. If he squeaks one out, it still looks really bad for the Democrats going in to the midterm year, because this should have been an easy W for them. And it's, you can hear him, the guy's panicking.
Not only is he panicking, he's lying. And this is what's so insulting to so many parents out there. This idea that your kids are in danger of COVID is just not true. He's trying to sneak in anecdotal stories about kids who died with COVID. Remember, the seasonal flu kills more young kids every year. Your kids are more likely to be murdered than they are to die of COVID. Your kids are more likely to drown. They're more likely to die of the seasonal flu. They're more likely to die in car accidents. Okay? All of those things are true. As a parent, I understand what they're trying to do here, because my kids matter more to me than anything, like all of you in the same way. They're trying to scare you with lies into voting for Democrats based on COVID. That's how they did it in 2020, and he's running the same game plan now. In the meantime, by the way, another week's out started. And if you woke up today and you were sore, we got a solution for you. It didn't feel good because you had a lot of pain. Relief Factor. They have helped hundreds of thousands of people already this year. Developed and refined by doctors over the last 15 years with ingredients known to reduce inflammation, which is a leading source of pain. Our friends at Relief Factor, 3-week quick start pack. You take a Relief Factor 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 3 weeks. And you'll know if it works for you or not. You start today, that's by Thanksgiving. You'll know whether or not you're feeling better by the time the holidays get here. Hundreds of thousands of people have tried. 70% of them go on to order more. Those are amazing odds. If it works for 7 out of 10 people, why would you not help to get your life back, have much less pain? Relief Factor, 100% drug-free product made for people like you, like me, like my wife, like Buck's dad. And how do people sign up and become part of the Relief Factor Brigade?
It's so easy, folks. And you got to check it out. Join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF.